for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, we're talking racing. We have Sarah Fisher here tonight and Dan Weldon, both in the Toyota Indy 400, which is coming up this weekend, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The race is Sunday. Saturday is qualifying, and Friday is practice. Open to the public, by the way. And is that at the Fontana Speedway?
Yes, you're correct.
Yes, I think I went to this last year.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think I did. Horrible food at that place. Oh.
But a great event.
Great event. Great event. But let me tell you something about the food. They trap you in there. You're trapped.
Yeah, well, it's a big, like a big frying pan, right?
I mean, you can't bring, you're just trapped. Yeah, you're forced to eat S on a shingle and bad Pringles. But the event itself, spectacular. Dan is races for the Andretti Green Team. But that's not the cool green team. That's a different green team, right?
Well, it's a cool team, but it's now renamed. It's the Andretti Green Racing Team.
But oh, it's not. But was it the same cool with the K, like the cool cigarettes?
Yeah. No, it was owned by Barry Green. It's now been taken over by Michael Andretti, Kim Green, and Kevin Savary. So it's a great team to be on.
And Sarah's got quite the list of accomplishments here. She was voted the IRL's most popular driver for the past 2 years running. She's became only the third woman in history to qualify for the Indianapolis 500. What happened in the 500?
Oh, lots of things. this year, we had a motor blow up on lap 15.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get to finish the race this year.
How is Indy? I know it's the grandfather of all these races. It's the big show, at least as far as the public goes. But is it the fastest track, or are they all relatively the same speed-wise?
Well, Indy is certainly where you see the top speeds. But as far as the action of side-by-side racing at the top speeds, you would get that more at somewhere like Chicago or Fontana this weekend. You can run 220 side-by-side, whereas at Indy, you can't run 230 side-by-side.
Right, 240 side. And, you know, the whole thing about the side-by-side is the open wheel part of it really makes it hairy. I mean, everyone watches the stock car and the NASCAR and all that, but they're trading paint. When wheels run up on each other, cars go sailing. It just seems like an accident waiting to happen, and maybe it is. But are these cars as safe as stock cars, or safer, or does anyone know?
I think they're safer, personally, because when you hit the wall in one of these cars, they might blow apart and it looks horrendous. But the fact of the car taking that energy and those parts coming apart, that's where the car is absorbing the crash and your body is not absorbing the crash. And whereas when you're in a stock car, you're glued to a steel frame.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a soft material, so your body takes more of the impact in those kind of cars.
So, I mean, there's definitely more technology involved with these cars. I mean, it's not quite Formula One, but it's a lot closer than about anything else?
I would have to say, as the series progresses, it's getting more and more like F1, the amount of technology that's involved, the amount of sensors on our cars that are logging various pieces of information is out of this world. And that's why we can do these speeds relatively comfortably, and that's why we can run side by side.
And it all gets fed back to the computer that's at the pit, and there's... Is there adjustments being made, suspension, engine, that kind of stuff? I mean, to some degree?
I mean, even through a race, we'll constantly be making adjustments. We have adjustments in the cockpit, so the drivers definitely have to earn their money. But through a test day, which we've actually just done two at Fontana, we'd constantly be adjusting the car, dampers, wings, etc.
It's amazing what... The role that aerodynamics play in this.
At a quarter of a thousand miles an hour.
I never thought of it as a quarter of a thousand miles an hour, but that should be your answer. Forget the 250. Say, I'm traveling a quarter of a thousand miles an hour, like Dr. Drew says. But, you know, it strikes me that somewhere, like whenever I love watching all these old vintage races and all the old footage and watching the Speed Network and all that kind of stuff, and it's just – what these guys would do in the past in terms of, you know, fuel, sitting on the fuel tanks and not wearing helmets, or if they were wearing helmets, they were more like a horse riding, you know, the kind of thing you want to fox hunt with straps. You know, it was just basically a hardened skull cap with straps going along the side. They're sitting on top of the fuel tank. They weren't belted in. They didn't want to be belted in. Took some. I can never figure this out. And I mean, I got a bunch of thoughts on this. I'm just going to give them to you. I you know, the roll bar didn't really come into the car until about 10 years after World War II. And in World War II, we had flying fortresses with belly bubbles on them that maneuvered in 1,000 different directions. I mean, the Germans were coming up with jets, so we had our own jets at the end of the war. The atomic bomb, really couldn't figure out the piece of tube that went a little higher than your head in the car. I think we figured it out. I think the thing was is those guys were pussies who put that tube on that went higher than their head.
Well, and hockey players didn't wear helmets.
It was a bravado thing. Right. Yeah, hockey players took them 75 years and 7 million concussions to figure out that maybe a helmet would be nice.
And then the face mask came a lot later.
In hockey? Yeah. It's barely there. Barely there now. And the thing I like about hockey, too, is the guys who now everyone's forced to wear the helmet, but nobody says they have to cinch up the chin strap. So it hangs 9 inches below them like a bucket so that when their head hits the ground, the helmet pops off just before the skull makes contact with the ice. So there was a bravado thing in racing for sure. I mean, it was a daredevil sport. But I think the bravado is expressed in the driving now, but not in the, hey, I'm wearing a T-shirt and underpants.
The exposure, not so much exposure, not speed.
Would you agree with that?
Well, I think I tested the roll bar at Indy, so I'm glad I'm glad I had it on, to tell you the truth. But
flipped the car?
Yeah.
How fast were you going?
We were just going into turn three, so it's got to have been about 240. But I was trying to do the side by side thing at Indy as well as Fontana. But no, I think I thought we were brave. But when you look back at those guys, and they were
going
out of control.
They were going about as fast as one of those Razor scooters are going.
Segway.
No, they're going. Whatever. They're going 100 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour, but they're on these bias ply 70 series, 10-speed tires that are like folding under the car around each corner. I mean, you look at you go back and look at some of that stuff like Le Mans.
Yeah.
Le Mans, they're just flying down a street, and they were going 200 miles an hour back in the later 60s and stuff. Really? I mean, at Le Mans, like, GT40s and some of the Ferraris and stuff like that, and some crazy Porsche, the wide-open unlimited classes.
Yeah.
And they just have footage of them going down the street, and it's at night, and it's raining, and the street is lined with big
people,
oak trees.
And people.
But huge trees and no railing. Like, you just catch the tree. And then people standing around. I like the people that stand around at the rally races who stand on the outside of the corner drinking beer, just watching car after car sideways and out of control with a little air under them, just barely going by them. And then surprised when one rolls into them. Shocked. How could this happen? Really? How could it not happen? I like rallies. That you guys got to get in a rally racing. There's zero rules because they don't do it here. It's in Egypt. It's in Africa. They're out in the parts of Europe unknown, and there's no rules. Like, just go drive on that cliff road, and be careful. Don't hit the donkey. That's all right. But you guys are. What are we talking about, Drew? I got a little fired up there. You guys are all the cars are running the same motor, right?
No, there's three different manufacturers. There's a set of rules. Four. three. He threw me off. No. And you have to abide by a certain standard of rules.
Displacement and things like that.
Yeah, but they have different manufacturers that come up with different engines that all abide by the same rules but try to go with different theories.
Who's running?
Chevrolet, Toyota, and Honda.
And they're all... small V8s.
Yes.
Small displacement V8s.
Well, guess what? It's pretty good, I think. We're always looking for more.
Right, but is the rule because I get confused sometimes. There's lots of different racing factions and lots of different rules. But is the rule that the engine displacement cannot be over I don't know, 3 liters or 2.9 or whatever it is. Oh, you guys don't know? I run into this each time. There's got to be a displacement rule.
Whatever the topic
but,
is.
But you can make as much horsepower as you want, given that displacement. Like, given all these criteria, go ahead and knock yourself out, see how much horsepower you can get.
That's the goal. I mean, you want to have a faster engine package than the next guy.
Right.
You want to be able to get away with, you know, on a short track, you want to have more torque. But on a track like Fontana, you want to have a lot more high end.
Right.
And, you know, really you want two different motor designs, but right now we have one. And we try to take that band and make it even from the bottom all the way to the top.
And how do you decide which one you're going with?
Well, that's something that Chevy and Toyota and Honda go for, as far as, you know, the torque bands that they have.
But if you start with a Honda at the beginning of the series, is it Honda all the way through the season, or can you swap engines around?
It'd be very difficult to swap engines around. There's a lot of rule. I mean, there's restrictions. When you sign up with Honda and you say, hey, I want to run your motor for this year, let's say Chevrolet on my case, you know, you're committed to running that engine for the whole year.
Right, because they're sponsoring
you're
you.
The boss.
Right.
Oh, they're the boss.
You're working together to try and get an overall package to run faster, and you're helping them with R&D, and they're helping you with R&D, so you don't want to split off and leave them in the middle of the season.
Well, I mean, I'm hip. I know. I know what it's like. I'm sponsored by this microphone company. No. All right, Drew, where are we?
Here we go.
We're going to the phones?
Yeah.
Drew doesn't know anything about cars. He's jealous.
By comparison to you, I know nothing.
He should come to the race on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, he won't go. He's scared of things that go fast and make noises and are fun. But you guys really don't know the engine displacement, the maximum engine displacement? There's got to be. It's got to be kind of small, like 3 liters or something like that.
I don't know.
No,
do you know, Dan?
I don't know exactly.
All right, we're going to look into this. I'm going to find out for you guys.
You'd have to teach us something.
Who cares? I care, you jackass.
Don,
what's wrong with me having fun every once in a while?
Hey, Don.
Boring bit.
Don?
Yes?
What's going on?
Okay. I just found out just recently in the last week that I'm pregnant. I'm 5 to 6 weeks, and the guy that I'm pregnant by, I've been seeing,
I'm going to interrupt you for a second, Don. The guy who I'm pregnant by is just like, what are you doing now for work? Well, right now.
Right.
The guy I'm pregnant by implies that, A, he's not around.
Right.
B, more than another, there's at least another father with another child around.
Oh, really?
This is the guy.
This is the current
this
guy.
This is the guy I'm pregnant
not
with.
Not the last guy.
Yeah.
Don.
So you have other kids?
Well, yeah, I do have other...
Oh, okay.
Shocking.
Oh, yeah. Shocking.
Go ahead.
No, he is around, though.
He is?
We just broke up 2 nights ago.
Well, he was around.
We've been off and on for 14 months, more on than off.
Right.
But I had a lot of difficulty getting him to express himself emotionally to me. He would not tell me he loves me. He never once told me he loved me. He only ever told me he cared very deeply for me one time.
So naturally enough, you'd want this to be the father of another child.
Yeah, why'd you let him get you pregnant?
Well, I was told that I could not conceive children anymore. I have endometriosis, and I've...
that guy, by the way? I'd like to kick that guy in the balls.
I'd like to kick
that guy in the balls, and the guy says, you'll never walk again. But 6 months later, I was dancing.
Exactly why no one says things like that. What your doctor said to you, you could have trouble conceiving because of endometriosis. You may not be able to conceive.
No, actually, he told me with 100% certainty that I could not conceive because of the blood work that I was not ovulating.
Okay, doesn't it seem like...
And I'm also allergic to all kinds of birth control.
Listen, I hate to tell anyone to sue anybody, but doesn't it seem like you got a case?
My mom said the same thing, and so did the father of the baby. Said the same exact thing. The only problem with that is he probably didn't put it in writing, so I have no proof.
Okay.
But I am looking into that.
I'm doubting that he said that.
Right. Right.
But my question
here's my question, too, just by the way, doctor. Okay. What is in it for you as a doctor, yes, you doctor, to tell a patient 100% you're not going to walk or 100% you cannot conceive a child?
You never say that.
Why would you?
You just say, in my opinion, this is how this is going to play out.
Right.
You say, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, anyway. Don.
Okay.
So what do we need to do? You're 5 weeks pregnant.
Right. Now,
you already have 4 kids?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You didn't think you could get pregnant?
This is actually my eighth pregnancy.
Filled your vagina with cement, you could get pregnant.
Yeah, this is actually my eighth pregnancy. I've had
your eighth pregnancy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Touche. Yeah. I stand corrected.
Okay. So along the way, you didn't learn about birth control?
No, I'm allergic to birth control. I showed signs.
All right. What are we going to do?
What's the question?
My main concern is now that we're apart, we're still in contact. He wants to get an abortion. I'm iffy about it. But I don't want to force him into a pregnancy or raising a child and then have him regret or neglect, me or the
Who's
child.
Who's raising all the other kids?
Me.
Okay, where are all the fathers of those kids?
They're not around. They're in their lives, but they're not around for me. But they do good jobs.
How many fathers are there? I feel like I'm talking to my kid.
Four.
Four fathers.
Yeah.
Four fathers. Four kids, four dads?
Four kids, four
and
dads.
And this would be five?
Yes.
This would, I think this is a record for a white person. I didn't want to say it, but, I mean, I don't think you're going to come close to the black or Mexican record here. But for the Anglo, I think this is a record. This may be North American.
Well, that's not how I chose it.
That's an homage. To the black and Mexican man. I'm not trying to put them down. I'm just saying you may be looking at some sort of North American white record here. I think it's 5.5. I'm going to have to look into that.
What's the plan? What is the plan, Don?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What's the plan?
Okay.
What is your plan?
I need to know a male's point of view or a male's opinion on should I pursue him still, how he might be feeling.
Don, get the abortion. Just get the abortion.
Or give the child up for adoption.
Give the child up for adoption. You can get pregnant. Don't get pregnant again. I don't trust this guy. I don't like this guy just because you picked him.
Right.
And he's an idiot.
Are you a trauma survivor? Were you sexually abused or something?
Yes,
of course. Oh, come on.
Something.
I was almost molested as a child. I remember the situation clearly. But he didn't actually touch me physically.
Were you physically abused?
He almost... no, never.
What's your excuse then?
I was emotionally abused. So.
Emotionally abused. Okay. You can't maintain a relationship.
Really hard for me.
You're not going to maintain it with this guy. It's not going to happen.
So basically what you're saying is regardless of the baby, even if I get the abortion, that he does not care about me, that I should just drop the whole situation.
Well, he's told you that, and just the fact that
he's told me he did care about me.
He said cared about, but he wouldn't even say love. You had to back him in a corner, and maybe he had feelings for you.
Don, you having been an abuse survivor like that makes you attracted to guys that are not available and abusive. Until you get some treatment, you're going to continually pick dysfunctional relationships. This guy is not into this relationship. He's backing out. He wants out. He's angry about the pregnancy. The pregnancy is not going to galvanize this relationship. It's just going to make him resentful and maybe abuse the kid.
Okay.
If you have the baby, please give it up for adoption.
Or just let it go. I mean? Give it a fighting chance. Yeah, like a kid will do with a frog or a lizard, I did that with my rabbits once. I know coyotes ate them like 2 days later.
Give them a fighting chance.
But they were too big for my apartment, and we took them up to the hills up in Laurel Canyon. We just let them go. Hey, that's Darwinism, baby. It's all right.
I second that.
If the kid does survive, it's going to be quite an individual. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Learning, using a bark for a scratch pad to learn arithmetic, wearing a beaver pelt. Feral child,
he will be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I can't believe that nobody gets involved with these people and tells them to stop cranking out the
she's
kids.
She's a menace to herself.
Society.
To
society. Jesus Christ. Is there a politician in this great United States of ours that's not pussy enough to step up? Or not such a big puss that they can't step up? This is where we have to focus, everybody. It's this.
Yeah, this is it.
25, got 35 kids and four different dads and going on five. Nobody's going to say a word about this. No, we got to talk about taxes. Brian?
Hey, how's it going?
You're 18?
Yeah.
You got a question for our guests?
Yeah, I do. I was wondering when you guys got into racing and how you did it and what would be the best way for me to do it because I've always aspired to do that.
Ah, good, a normal question. I can handle that. I got started in racing when I was 5, and my parents were into racing, sprint cars and go-karts more as a hobby than a career, and everyone in my family did something in racing, so if I would have done anything else, I'd have been the weird one. And so I started in quarter midgets and go-karts and ran sprint cars and midgets, and by luck, I got into IndyCars.
By luck? What does that mean?
Well, by luck, my first car owner, Dale Pelfrey, was interested in midget drivers and wanted to bring a midget driver along into his IndyCar for the last race of the season, and called me and said, hey, do you want to test for me and take your rookie test? And, I mean, I jumped right on that. Who wouldn't? And then from there, I just had, you know, Derek Walker with Walker Racing had seen me do my rookie test and was interested in signing me for 3 years after that. So
how do you do your rookie test?
Well, you get in a car and there's it's been 4 years since I've done it.
Four phases.
Dan, you explain that.
Basically, you turn up a particular track that the team decide. And it has to be a feasible one. They put you pretty much on a place like Chicago or Fontana. And I think you'll start your first phase off and you'll have to run 10 laps between 200 and 205 mile an hour. And you have to be within 200 and 205. They want to see that you can run consistently. Then you'll do 10 at 205 to 210 and then 10 more at 215. 210 to 215, and then 10 more at 220 plus. That would be at somewhere like Chicago. And basically, you have a senior IRL official checking your progress and making sure that you're safe on track. But I have to say, I think the IRL is real good from that standpoint. Brian Barnhart had, there was a new driver on the track at the last race, Ed Carpenter, and Brian would ask how he was running with us guys in traffic, and he did a real good job. So they're real safety conscience.
Wow, that's... That's nice. That's kind of impressive, like cranking it up. And I like the idea of having to keep it between those two speeds. Yeah. All right. You have a digital speedometer, like, on the steering wheel?
Yeah, we have, you know, like when you go to the arcades and you see those the computer games with the steering wheel with all the different buttons on. We have basically that. We've got the lights on the top that tell us when to shift. And then, like, we have a thin little dash. It's pretty bright, and it tells you your running speed. Your fuel mixture and miles per gallon.
Is it harder to keep a car I think we were just talking about this last night. It's harder to drive on the freeway when a cop's crawling on the third lane. He's going 53. It's hard to sort of feather the throttle and keep from passing him. Is it harder to drive between 2 and 205 than it is at 240?
You know what, at Indy, I did. And this is the truth. We had a slight issue with setup on my rookie orientation there. And I did a lap of about 185 average, and it felt like I was doing 270. And then 3 days later, I did a lap of over 230 average, and it felt no problem.
Because the car wasn't set up correctly?
Yeah,
it's
got to feel right. And when it feels right, it feels easy and relatively slow.
Would you say for Brian or anyone else getting started that go-karts is the easiest way to go, get you the best experience?
Yeah, that's how I started. I started off at 4 in go-karts and then basically just stayed in karting. My parents shipped me off to Italy at 14 and I spent a lot of time over there racing karts, but that's the way everybody gets in now and seems
Italy?
To...
Italy?
Yeah.
No, I mean Italy or karts?
Yeah, karting's very big in Europe.
Oh, it is.
So I was moved to Italy to concentrate on racing.
Is Italy the mecca of karting? Is that?
I would say so. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, those guineas! I tell you, crazy. Got the soccer and go karts.
Yep. Ferrari.
Yeah. All right, hey Brian.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go to Italy. Get a go kart.
Okay.
All right. That's fine. Oh, love those Ferraris. I can't stand stock cars or...
let's take a break and talk. Let's hear what you can't stand.
You guys make fun of that stuff? You guys do, right? Stupid push rod, iron block
engines. We do in Europe, but now I'm over here, I got to be a little bit more careful.
Yeah. Bunch of idiots driving around in a circle.
Second most popular sport in the country.
I know. Think how many idiots call this show every night. Think all the idiots out there. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. Talking Toyota. IRL, Sarah and Dan are both here. The big race is coming up in Fontana this Sunday, qualifying on Saturday, and we'll be right back. everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Wilmer Valderrama is going to be in here tomorrow night from That 70s Show. And what the hell is that movie they've been pimping for the last? Mm-hmm. Seth Green was...
Party Monster.
Did you see it, Anderson?
Yeah, I liked it very... The first hour was amazing, and then it kind of... Yeah.
And Andy Dick's coming in next week. And
All right. Dan Weldon is here. Sarah Fisher's here. They both race for the IRL. And Toyota's putting on a big race coming up this weekend in Fontana. Is it 400 miles?
Yeah, it's 400 miles, 200 laps.
Wow. That's this Saturday and Sunday, by the way. Sunday's the day of the race. How long is it going to take you to finish them 400 miles?
200 miles an hour.
Well, yeah, but there's stops and pits and fueling and...
Two and a half, three hours.
I think it's going to be a fast race this year for some reason. I can't see there being too many yellows.
Yeah, we've had a couple races here recently that have gone nearly almost all green. We've only had a couple yellows.
I think when I won last, I always get drunk when I go to these things, and then life just sort of, whatever's behind you, it's some sort of, like you're going down some lake, and the wake just sort of fades back into the lake, and you can't really remember, you know, I can't remember anyone's name, and I don't remember, I introduced myself to people I haven't seen
a thousand times.
Yeah, it's nice. It's just, yes, that's life. Your motorboat going through the lake, and you're cutting a nice groove through it, and you're creating a wake, but then when you turn around and look, you can't tell where you've been because it's just more lake, just flat lake. That's my life, Drew. I think I went last year, and I don't think there was an accident. That's what I'm going to say. Was there an accident last year?
Actually, yes, there was because...
Was it late in the day? Did you crash?
Sure. No, it wasn't me. It was my teammate because I filled in for him at Nazareth in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. And then the next 2 weeks after that, and that's how I got my job with the team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I put a curse on him or something.
Oh, yeah.
I probably stayed for 2 hours and then left, so maybe it happened toward the end of the race.
You were so loaded at the end, you don't know what the hell was going
on. I staggered out onto the track, started yelling something about the drive. I was clenching my fist at every car, yelling, slow down, like an old man.
Good times, though, right?
Yeah, good times. All right, let's see.
Raising your cane at them.
You young liver, never that.
Yeah, hey, Joe, what's happening?
Yeah. Not much. What's up?
What's happening?
You know, Adam, royalty. You, I don't know what it is, man. You're as good as royalty. If I had the chance to meet the president or you, wouldn't even be a choice.
Wow. What do you mean? You take me?
Yeah.
No way. What are you talking about?
Here's the difference between me and the president. If you give me like a plane ticket and $1,000, I'll come to your house.
Well,
I'm just saying. I mean, I would do that. If I thought I could get the president to come to my house for a plane ticket and $1,000, I would do it. Yeah, I would bring him.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, Joe, thanks.
It speaks volumes about how he feels about you.
What's up?
Well, I've had this problem for as long as I can remember. I mean, it's nothing, you know, that's come up recently. But I go back and forth between, like, wanting to be a girl. It's usually the hornier I get, the more I want to be a girl. You know, downtown, you see a hot chick or something.
Joe. My price has gone up to $1,500, by the way. Plane ticket, $1,500.
It's $1,500? Let me get it.
Security.
And you're not gay, is that right?
Correct. I have a girlfriend. We've been together for a little over two and a half years.
So for you, when you become aroused, that's associated with a feeling of wanting to be somebody else.
Well, she doesn't... She knows about everything. I mean, I do a lot of stuff. I cross-dress and stuff, but...
Oh, boy.
You know,
you do.
Okay. What's that?
Well, what about... You know, last week we had a doctor on here that did those...
Yes, Alter. Dr. Alter.
Gender reassignment surgeries. You ever think about that?
Yeah, no. I'm a big guy.
Oh, really? This is going to be funny. What size are you?
I am 6'3", pretty close to 300. I'm pushing 300.
Now I'm at $2,000.
Yeah.
Just keeps going up.
But
parents used to give you messages such as, gee, if you'd only been a girl, we want
to... dad doesn't know a whole lot about it. I get my nails done.
When you were young, what do you think sent you down this path?
One of the ways this sometimes happens is a lot of messages about we wish you...
I don't know if it was something sent me down. I mean, my mom was always, you know, she's not in my life anymore, and she hasn't been for a while.
Why?
She's hardcore alcoholic, just too many problems. I like analogies. Like Adam, I say, you know, you can only go into a burning fire so many times before you get burnt too bad to go back and try and save stuff, you know. So
that's fine. As far as I'm concerned. Right. That could be a healthy thing.
We're 2,300 now for the week in energy.
And was she pretty chaotic when you were growing up?
Yeah. My brother, I have one brother. He's 4.5 years older than I am, you know, and he's pretty much done the same thing.
He cross-dresses also.
No, he wrote her off, sorry.
She used to give you messages about being a girl, or dressing you up, or wishing you'd been a girl?
Not really. I'm pretty good at hiding it from a lot of people. My girlfriend
Joe, stay with me. I'm asking you a question about your mom. When you were growing up.
We're 2,500 now.
Yeah.
She has a tracking problem.
She put a $500 surcharge. When you were growing up, did your mom used to dress you up or humiliate you or say things like, I wish you'd been a girl if we'd only had a girl? Make me
no, she never said that.
Okay,
she was always, I mean, she'd like
she
beat
drunk.
Us and stuff and kick us out all the time.
Right,
I mean,
right,
I slept
so
on the floor of my brother's pickup truck a few times.
All right.
You know,
that's plenty to
what do you do now, Joe?
I drive public transit.
But here's the deal. You should
You drive a bus?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're holding at 28.
You shouldn't even consider anything like a gender reassignment. You're a trauma survivor and should have that trauma.
Yeah, I don't know.
And where do you live?
Minnesota.
2050.
Not too far
in the spring.
Wait, you have an apartment or you're a homeowner?
Actually, I just bought a trailer. We lived in a house.
Oh, hold on a second. I got to crunch some numbers here.
It's in Minnesota, though. It's not in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
just make it springtime. You can't be in the wind.
I got to say we're up to 3,700 minimum.
How far from the airport are you?
And those are off weekends, you know what I mean? That's not summer. What do hotels call that? During down times, you know what I mean?
Off season.
Off season with 3,700. 3,700. And that's a short weekend. I mean, that's coming in Saturday morning, leaving Sunday in the afternoon. Okay, where was he?
Six,
all right.
How far from the airport are you, Joe?
Probably about 12 miles.
Oh, 12 miles.
Okay, there you go.
Down to 3,500.
Yeah, there you go. Adam loves that.
Adam loves save some
near,
cab.
Yeah, near the
save
airport.
Cab fare, in and out, in and out. All right, so you just bought a trailer.
We lived in a house for about a year and a half, and we bought a trailer to save money. I had three vehicles. I sold two of them.
You and your girlfriend?
Yes. Well, actually, we had four between us, but I had three myself, and she has her one.
All right.
Okay. And your girlfriend's aware of all this, and she sticks by you.
Yeah, she knew about some of it before we started going out, and then now she's well aware of it all.
Joe, I'm asking you to listen to us. When we start speaking, listen, okay? Just don't keep talking. Is she an alcoholic, your girlfriend?
No, she does. She just turned 21, so I'm kind of getting worried about it.
Now we're down to 3,200.
What are you worried about?
We're moving in the right direction.
What are you worried about?
Well, she, you know, you turn 21, you go out to the bars and party. It was
She would have made her move. Besides, in Minnesota, if you're going to start drinking, you start at 10.
Mm. Oh, yeah, well, she'd go over to her friend's house, but nothing real hardcore. I mean, I've had a 12-pack of Smirnoff in the fridge for about 3.5 months. So there's probably about five left.
Down to 3,100 now because there's something I can do right when I walk through the door, get that 12-pack of Smirnoff, just killing the pain. All right, Joe. Again, we're about $3,000. Again, this doesn't involve tipping or meals or anything. It's probably coming in closer to five with airfare, but I think we can work this out.
And
Joe, how about I'll make you a deal. You save the money. You were going to pay me to fly out there and visit with you and your family and spend it on therapy. Because I agree with Drew for a change. This is you were traumatized, and that's what's created this.
So scrambled this, right?
Yeah, you got shaken like a snow globe when you were a kid, and now you need to go to somebody and sort things out a little bit.
If you want to go to Al-Anon or Adult Children of Alcoholics, a 12-step program, that will be very helpful as well. But I think individual therapy would go a long way.
Hmm. All right, Jenny.
Yeah.
You're 22.
Yes.
Let's see how much it would take for me to come out to your pad.
Oh, Adam, I love you. It wouldn't take too much.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, and Drew, not everybody is a hillbilly that's from Oklahoma.
That's not me. I didn't say that.
Oklahoma.
It's Adam.
Is that you, Adam?
Yeah. No, well, could have been, yeah. Where do you live in Oklahoma?
I live in Oklahoma City.
All right. What kind of dwelling?
I live in an apartment.
All right.
I'm a student. student. So
student.
Where are you going to school?
Yeah. Actually, I go to UCO, and I was disappointed because Dr. Drew was supposed to come out.
That's 4-year university,
hey,
right?
Jenny.
$1,200.
Yeah? People can't hear. The mic's not up or something. What's going on here?
Sure, people tune out when you talk.
I guess so. Jenny, I did speak there.
Did you? No way.
Yes, I did.
I missed it because right.
You're talking about the Broncos.
The Broncos, yeah.
Yeah. That's where I've been.
No, you downed 1,100 for ignoring Drew when he came into town.
And I'm saying Broncos.
Oh, I didn't know. I was so excited, but then it was like, the Twin Towers thing happened.
Back up to 1,300 for her incessant rambling.
That's right. I couldn't come out because of the little incident in New York, and I came out the following year. And Broncho is apparently the original word for Bronco.
Oh, really?
It was originally called a Broncho, and they made a big point of saying, well, our mascot is the Broncho. I have that giant horse. You have a giant Bronco? I've got that in my study.
Do you really? I'm sorry.
All right. So, do you have a question for our guests, by the way?
No, actually, I don't know much about
it. I was looking at the wrong one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Next question is for our guests.
Okay. Well, actually, I do have a couple of questions, and they might be kind of related. I'm not really sure. But my first one is I've been sexually active since I was almost 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And it seems like every time I have sex, it's very painful, and I've tried to get checked out for it, but my gynecologist says there's nothing wrong, but it's getting continually worse, and the feelings are different. Like, I cannot enjoy sex at all.
$400?
Like somebody just like rubbing me raw from inside, you know?
Are you on medication?
No, I'm not.
No
birth control pills?
I was on birth control since I was about 18 to about 20-something.
Okay.
Like, yeah, almost to 21. But I took myself off because I gained so much weight.
Now we're back up to 26.
But you've continued to have those symptoms in spite of being off the birth control pill, yes?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Have you continued to have these symptoms in spite of being off the birth control pill?
Yeah, and it's worse, and it's very painful. I don't even want to have sex anymore. And
same partner the whole way through?
Hold on, $9,000.
No.
Jenny, same partner?
$1,000. I want to. It's just I'm scared because I'm afraid I'm going to hurt and then
Jenny,
pull my boyfriend
this,
off.
By the way, is, again,
$4,500. What did you say, boyfriend?
Yeah.
$11,000.
Difference between men and women. Men, the pain could be excruciating.
Right.
You lose a limb each time.
Sure.
Too bad. Jenny, the same partner that the symptoms are associated with?
I'm sorry, you cut it out again.
Is it the same partner that gives you the pain or a different guy?
Yeah. I've been
same
with
guy.
My boyfriend for a year.
Anything we should know about him? Anything about him that might be predisposing to this?
No. He's not... I've only been with like a couple of people, and none of them have been like large.
He's not very well.
Like they're hitting my stomach.
Down to $900. Okay. All right. Look, you got. She's been to the gynecologist.
Yeah,
she's
might
not
be
been abused.
Might be we didn't get down the abuse path.
No. You ever abused sexually or physically?
Not that I. You know, I've always wondered seriously, but no. I don't think I have. I'm sure
all right.
I
well, man, if you don't think you have,
are
maybe
you
weren't.
Are you using a condom when you have these symptoms?
No.
Do you?
No,
back up.
I know. I should be using protection. I know. I just.
And do you guys use lubricants?
No.
All right. Well, that would be the place to start because it's a rubbing
That's
feeling
a push.
You get.
That's a push.
Well, I've tried that.
All right. Try the lubricants.
Yeah.
If you're not going to try the lubricants, don't pick up the phone. I mean, that's the first thing you try.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we came in at $2,400. I think that's a reasonable price for me to get out to Oklahoma and spend the weekend with you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that doesn't include tips, airfare, per diem.
Meals.
Per diem. I'm going to need, $75. What I call wham, walking around money. All right. Sarah Fisher and Dan Weldon are both here tonight, both race car drivers, both going to be down at Fontana for the Toyota 400 this weekend. That's Sunday, but qualifying on Saturday, and a good time to be had by one and all. Speeds of 240 miles an hour. Yes, Drew?
I was saying, we need to talk about Bad Ronald when we get back.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
After this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Wilmer Valderrama is in here tomorrow night from That 70 Show. Dan Weldon and Sarah Fisher are here tonight, both race car drivers, going to be at the at Fontana this weekend doing the IRL, which is one of the harder sets of initials to really say without screwing up. Just say IRL a few times.
IRL, IRL, IRL.
Yeah, are you lucky? All right, it's true if you break it up and you go like IRL, you can do it. But if you just try to go IRL, yeah. it sounds like
you're right.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that. All right, see if they could change that. That's the Toyota 400, which is this weekend, Sunday. Speeds over 240 miles an hour. Open wheels. These are modern-day gladiators, Drew.
Modern-day.
Thank you. See? Repeat the last two words I say. You'll always come out on top.
On top.
All right. Casey?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes, sir.
You have a question?
Yeah. I guess my question would be for Sarah. Well, you said you run a lot of sprints and midgets, so I guess your family was around a lot of, you know, mini stocks and modifieds and stuff like that, right?
Not really. I mean, I ran like All-Star Circuit of Champions and World of Outlaws sprint cars at like
really?
Knoxville. And...
I guess my question would be, do you think that driving on dirt helps you to prepare to drive on concrete or what would be your feel on that?
Yeah. What about dirt versus concrete? Does it prepare you for concrete because you're used to driving almost sort of sideways everywhere, or is it just two different things?
Well, it's two completely different things. In a sprint car, first of all, you have a front engine car, so you feel the way that the car handles more through your body instead of your hands. Whereas in a rear engine car, you feel it more through your hands.
Oh, interesting.
So that was something that I had to learn when I got straight to Indy cars, but dirt is actually a lot more fun because you can cowboy a car,
that.
You know, and you don't have to be. You have to be precise because you have to be very smooth at big half mile tracks like at Eldora Speedway in Ohio. But as far as you know, taking it in and doing a slide job on a guy coming in on the bottom and sliding up in front of him on the top, you can't do that in Indy cars.
Yeah.
But it certainly is fun to do in a sprint car.
Hey, well, Casey.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, good times.
Good times.
So, all right.
Bad Ronald.
Oh, Bad Ronald. Well, somebody sent...
I was at the Barnes & Noble in Santa Monica. And
you were.
Nice job there. And one of the enthusiastic attendants at the lecture there brought this up for you, Adam.
Well, Bad Ronald is a TV movie of the week that it was my favorite growing up. I must have saw it when I was 9 or 10 years old. It was. They used to have movies of the week that were... they had the Devil's Triangle movies. They had a lot of dogs being possessed by the devil.
Killdozer.
They had farm equipment being possessed by the devil. Everything was possessed by the devil. The devil's got to get a new publicist because the devil was huge when we were growing up.
Huge in the 70s.
And the devil's almost, the Devil's Triangle, people just go willy-nilly through the Devil's Triangle now, not thinking anything of it. Back when we were growing up, there's like, if you went through that section of Bermuda known as the Devil's Triangle.
You were coming out.
Yeah, you had a 20% chance of getting through it.
But it didn't matter what kind of vehicle you were in.
A plane, boat, doesn't matter. Compass starts spinning around, music gets weird, and the next thing you know, they never find you again. Somehow this all faded out. But Bad Ronald was one of the movies that I enjoyed back then. It was a TV movie, and it was a great story. Okay, now listen to this story. Ronald is a nerd. He is a classic nerd. Drew, do you have a picture of you in junior high?
Matter of fact, I think I do.
All right, if you could get that out. Do you really have a picture of you in junior high?
This is for the calendar. We had to get pictures of ourselves when we were growing up.
Oh, my God.
How weird is that?
That is kind of weird. All right, Bad Ronald is like 12. No, he's maybe 13 years old, maybe 14. He's maybe a sophomore in high school, like the ninth grade. Give me this picture. Hey, Drew, look at Drew over there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How old were you there,
Drew?
17.
Looking good. Nothing with the hair a little more whacked out?
No.
Like I remember you when you were 13?
No.
All right, so anyway. Bad Ronald. He's living with a sickly mom. He's 14 years old. He's a nerd. He wears glasses. He likes this blonde-haired chick, and he goes to a swimming party one day, and he shows up, and everyone's like, "You're bad, Ronald!" And they make fun of him, and they splash water at him, and he goes home all dejected, hanging his head, and while he's heading home, he runs into some little 9-year-old girl on a bicycle and like knocks her down, and she gets up and she's like, "You're bad, Ronald." And everyone's telling Ronald how bad he is and what a nerd he is, and then she starts making fun of his sickly mother, and he says, "Don't say that about my mother." And she's like, "Why? She's weird." And he pushes her and she hits her head on a rock. And back in the 70s, you could die from hitting your head on a rock.
You did die.
You did die. Yeah. Only if they Dutch the camera, meaning if they turn the camera sideways and saw your face looking off.
In slow motion.
And your head hit, and they turn the camera sideways as your head hit, that meant you were dead. That's how you could die. They push you over, you die. So what's Ronald do? He buries her in a shallow grave. Not full size, not medium.
Shallow.
The shallow.
Yeah, he's 14. He's 11.
He's 14. And he runs home and he tells his mom, "I killed somebody." And she says, "We got to hide your bad Ronald." Well, she calls him Ronald. I don't think she's just a bad thing. So she makes a secret compartment for him inside the house underneath the staircase. You know the stair, how the stairs work? The opening there? All right, we got to take a break. But
the climax.
The thrilling conclusion to Bad Ronald after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dan Weldon, Sarah Fisher, both here tonight. Both race car drivers going to be down at the Fontana, which is the is that California Speedway?
Yeah. I think so. So what happens to Bad Ronald?
Oh, Bad Ronald. Yeah, well, listen. I got to plug their gig.
You did.
250 miles an hour, everybody.
He's under the stairwell. His mother stuffs him under there.
10 every time he says it.
Oh, Bad Ronald. Okay. 14, nerd, gets made fun of.
Kills somebody.
Got glasses, pushes a girl, Dutch the camera. She's dead. Buries her in the...
shallow grave.
Not medium. Shallow grave.
How do you know it's shallow? Does he say, I better dig a shallow grave?
To bury her in a shallow grave. The shallow grave, it's like you hear about the master of disguises, but you don't hear about the guys. You're just sort of adequate with the disguises. And it's like international jewel thieves.
Right.
You don't hear about the regional guys. Yes. Guys are working the Glendale Burbank area.
Right,
it's always international.
Yeah,
shallow grave, international, master.
Yeah.
All right. So buries her, goes home. Now tells his mom it was a mistake. She says, no one's going to believe. Got to hide you under the staircase. If you think about old house and the way they're laid out, there's some room under that staircase. Cuts a hole in the wall. There's like a pantry door. You have to go in through the pantry in the kitchen, open a little hatch, slide in there.
All right.
That's where Bad Ronald hides.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Bad Ronald hides underneath the staircase. Of course, the cops show up. They're looking for Bad Ronald. They want to know where he is. The mom says, Bad Ronald, she calls him Bad, I think, took him he's out. He ran away. I don't know where he is. So they leave and go looking. Meanwhile, got a little secret knock and stuff, to see, when it's the coast is clear.
For food.
She's feeding him. She's having him keep up with his studies stuff, She's looking after Bad Ronald. She's shopping. Of course, there's the nosy neighbor. I don't know what happened to nosy neighbors, but that was another very popular 70s thing.
What was her name? Miss Kravitz.
Miss Kravitz, across the street from Bewitched. But there was always some old woman watering next to your house, who's always poking her head in, sort of trying to get a look. So Bad Ronald's hiding in there. Now, mom's sickly, so mom dies. Now Bad Ronald, she goes to the hospital and dies.
No dad.
This is what happens, by the way.
Yeah.
You hear me? This is what's going to happen to you guys who raise all your kids without a dad. So he's under the stairs. The mom has gone to the hospital. The mom has died, and now Bad Ronald living alone in the house. Aha. Uh-huh. But the house sells. And it sells to Dabney Coleman, by the way, who's playing the dad, and his three hot blonde daughters that are all like age 13 to 16. Of course, Bad Ronald being 14, he's going insane in there now. So he's living under the stairs, and, he sneaks out at night and he steals a cupcake and sneaks back in, and they're saying, "I made those cupcakes for the school picnic. Who ate those?" And everyone's arguing. Bad Ronald's looking through this little peephole at everybody. and eventually starts going nuts. Now, he creates this whole delusional world where he's drawing murals and princesses, wow. And he falls in love with one of the blonde girls, kidnaps her, and takes her under the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great story.
Yeah. And then it ends. It ends as every good 70s TV movie ends, with him busting out of the front door and the cops converging on him in the stop frame.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They do that roll credits over the stop frame.
Like the end of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roll credits. Yeah. And I don't know, to me, but here's the whole message of Bad Ronald, which is, you know, if you're a nerd, if you're awkward, if people make fun of you, don't worry. One day you'll be arrested. That's really what's the message of Bad Ronald. He didn't do anything. He just got made fun of, killed some girl by mistake. Now he's going to prison. I recommend you guys all watch Bad Ronald. All right. It really gives you some perspective.
On life, yeah. I learned something.
Thank you. All right. Where are we? Matt?
Yep.
You're 19?
Yep, that's me. How's it going, Adam?
Good.
Sweet. I got a question for Dr. Drew, actually.
Yeah.
I'm actually from Salt Lake City, Utah, and I was raised very, very Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And
not
so
just a little. Not a shallow grave.
Not a shallow.
I understand.
Very Mormon, yes?
This is true. Mm-hmm. And so, basically, I've kind of lost views on that, some things I don't agree with.
How come?
Just, there are certain things that just don't work in my head with me, right. Certain views of the church that I don't share.
Sure, why aren't you still into the Easter Bunny?
Well, no, because in that community, that's forsaking your family, community. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, but maybe you got two brain cells to rub together, and buy
the
nonsense.
It's a big deal here. So, actually, my parents don't know about it, but, yeah.
They don't know that you've forsaken things.
No, I haven't really forsaken. It's just kind of, you know, I don't believe everything that they do.
All right, okay.
But basically, the way it goes is I've actually got a girlfriend now who I've dated for off and on a long time, and we're actually trying to have a sexual relationship right now, and I find that I cannot orgasm, mm-hmm. And I've never heard of that before in my life.
Are you on medication?
Nope.
You can't do it with her, or you can't do it in your life ever?
When I lost my virginity... The average time I've heard from all my friends is like 5 minutes. When I lost my virginity, it was an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
How about
that poor prostitute?
How about if you're by yourself?
It's about 45 minutes.
By yourself?
Yeah.
45 minutes by yourself?
I bet it's nuts. I got really strong arms, what can I say?
Wow.
Thank you.
Jeez, that is a commitment.
Hey, I try.
Yeah, I'd probably be down to 3-4 times a day at 45 minutes.
Are you everything else normal? You have any medical problems?
I actually had bipolar, but I've pretty much worked through that, and I'm not really, you know, I deal
so you're
with...
You're not on any medications?
No, nothing really worked for me. I have a really kind of a fragile brain chemistry, so it either made it worse or didn't work.
Hmm.
All right. Wow. Hmm.
It makes me wonder, you have normal muscular development, normal hair distribution, that sort of thing?
It's true.
You
I
do.
I play hockey, I'm in college, you know.
You have normal sort of, you seem like all the other guys, nothing different about you.
No vagina, large nipples, is that what you're saying?
Sorry. I got to tell you something, Adam. I was listening to you guys yesterday, and you said you like the big boobs. I've never dated a girl below a size D, and I love the rest.
So. See, that's all man, Drew. It's all man.
You know, you can broaden that.
Yeah.
Are you anxious? Do you have a lot of anxiety when you're with these girls?
Absolutely not. I mean...
He's had the same girl for a while.
I think it warrants a biological evaluation.
Really?
I do. And maybe your bipolarity was something related to a prolactin issue or thyroid. I mean,
because you're saying a guy...
You don't end bipolar. You don't just suddenly outgrow bipolarity. It just doesn't happen like that. So it suggests maybe they missed something back then, and maybe this is now a sign of something else going on endocrinologically.
Okay, so let's just shed some light on this. Everybody's got a different sort of timer to them. I mean, there's a certain... men and women and...
Especially men,
but in all... Well, women.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all... But this is for everything. Some people lose their hair at age 22. It's not because they're standing too close to a microwave oven. It's just that's them.
Yep.
Just like their eyes are brown and your eyes are blue, right?
Yep.
So certain amount of this stuff, especially with the orgasms, because people call the show every night. There's 19-year-old girls who have nothing but orgasms. There's 19-year-old girls who can't have an orgasm. There's guys that go in 3 minutes. There's guys who go in 3 hours. Within a range, a lot of that's just normal, right?
Correct.
But if it gets past a certain point, And if it's 19-year-old Matt who plays on the hockey team and it's taken him 45 minutes when he's alone, we've crossed a certain point.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. It certainly warrants a look.
And what are they looking for?
I would check just at hormone level to make sure he's producing erratic amounts of testosterone, there's no prolactin secreting tumors, thyroid's normal, these sorts of things.
Mm. And there's I got the DVD of Bad Ronald, and they had some deleted scenes.
Oh, no.
One of them was where they had to actually install a floor drain. He was beating off in his cubbyhole.
That's the Corolla cut.
It never made the cut, of course. This was the 70s. These were different times.
Yeah. Good times.
All right. Imagine 14 living with the three chicks and spying on them through the thing. All right. Where are we? Matt?
No.
Five, oh, where? Five. Oh, you're going to five. Drew, your new hand signals didn't do nothing for me.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk to Ashley. Ashley?
Yes?
What's up?
Okay, I want to know if I've been raped or not.
All right, what happened?
Okay, well, the guy was 19 and I was 14.
If you had sex with him, you were raped.
Well.
Yes.
Well, oh. Right. I mean, there's different degrees of rape, perhaps.
Do you want to, what is? I mean, the guy's a criminal, no matter what. If you had sex.
Well, yeah, I know it's statutory rape, but yeah. I mean, I did not actually tell him no.
Okay,
that doesn't matter.
But the reason statutory rape laws are in place is because at 14 you're not very good at telling people no. It's not your job to tell them no.
Even clearer, you're not able to say yes.
Oh.
The law is more about you're not in a position to render consent.
Interesting. All right. Ashley?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're 16 now.
Mm-hmm.
And are you feeling like this has affected you?
Yeah, because I still have problems telling guys no. Like, if...
But
yeah, so you were victimized before this.
Yeah, this seems like more bad parenting, namely dad.
No, this is victim.
Really?
Yeah, this is freeze. This is you can't.
Low self-esteem will do that, too.
Yeah, it can, but you can't withstand other person's desires. They just consume you.
You want to gamble?
Yeah.
Have a little gambling. Right. You guys got any money? You got a dollar on you? You guys make a lot of money on that.
17 cents.
Drew, are you kidding me?
I don't have money. That's all I have with me.
You're an adult male with doctor in front of your name, and you walk around with 17 cents in your pocket?
It's in my car. I'm going to go to the car.
Some Jimmy Choo size 8s.
What do you have? Nothing? No? No dollars?
Not on me, no. My bag's in the car.
Oh, it's
mine's on its way.
Get the Wrangler.
This is an outrage. All right, let's do some gentlemanly betting then. All right. I say Ashley wasn't abused.
Okay.
I say Ashley's, we're betting on Ashley's pass, by the way. I'll put Ashley on hold so she doesn't screw up our betting here. I say neglectful father.
Good one.
Left the scene early.
Good bet.
Indifferent stepdad, or just neglect and indifference on the part of dad.
Good bet.
Dan, you have any thoughts about Sarah's pass? Or Ashley's pass? I'm sorry, Sarah.
I reckon neglected by both.
Mm.
Mom and dad.
Yeah.
All right. Sarah, what do you think?
Oh, I think she's seeking attention from males.
Yeah, why, though? What happened in her childhood that had such an important effect?
You can go with nothing, by the way, because that's a bet, too.
Yeah. Just being ignored or... Yeah,
you guys are all going down the same path.
We got two ignores. You got to go with a new one. You can go, why don't you go like uncle molested her, neighbor, something like that.
Well, that's actually gonna be my best.
Good money.
I don't have any money.
Sorry, brother, you're going last. Sarah, let's go uncle.
Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Yeah,
nice.
Nice.
From Ohio.
Sweet.
That's the way they do things over there. All right.
No, this is either neglect or chaos in the family. One of those sort of abandoning family systems. And then neighbor abused her.
Neighbor.
Sexual abuse.
All right. Drew's got his fingers crossed. Please. Ashley?
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about your past. What about your family?
My family. Well, okay. Right now, this happened all after I was 14. So, my dad. I'm not talking to him. I haven't for a long time now.
A long time. Why not?
Well, my parents are getting divorced right now, and he refuses to move out of the house, and he has never really been there for me.
Never been there. What do you mean by that?
Like, he works, like, from, like, 4 in the morning to, like, 9 at night. Or he's gone. I don't know if he's working or not.
All right. So he didn't never made you feel wanted.
It's neglectful again.
Neglectful. Yeah. What about your mother?
She's always really been there for me, but lately her.
All right. Too bad. Dan's out. What about your grandpa? Has he been there?
No, I've never been molested. My family's been great for me.
No neighbor, nothing?
No.
So this is all an acting out.
You see, I would have...
You're good.
Cheap sons of bitches would have brought nickel with you. I would be a rich man right now.
So, you went for nothing?
How dare you? I went for just basic neglect. That's how this argument started.
It may not be neglect. It may be her acting out the chaos in her family system now. The thing started breaking down, and then
her dad never was there, paid attention. He lowered her self-esteem, and now she has difficulty saying no.
But I still can't believe there wasn't this freezing you do.
She's not freezing. She's a pleaser, and then she's angry later about it.
Why would you be such a good victim? Where have you been victimized in your life?
Let
her answer the question.
She said no. Victimization is having a dad that doesn't know you're alive is victimization.
Yeah, you're right.
But how dare you?
That kind of freeze response was so typical of
him. All right. Anything, Ashley?
Yeah. My brother also. He's huge druggie. I don't know. He's in coke, whatever. Oh. I don't know what he's doing.
Did he ever molest you?
No, but his friend when I was drunk.
Huh? Huh? Hold on. How old?
Did he live next door?
No.
His friend. How old was his friend at the time?
17.
How old were you?
I was 14 still.
No, we needed something to happen.
Just missed that. Just missed it. All right.
You hit when you were 5?
No, nothing at 5?
No, nothing.
Drew just threw his hat on the ground.
Stomped on it.
He's livid. All right, so Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Chaotic family.
Yeah.
Neglectful dad. Low self-esteem. Have trouble saying no.
Mm,
okay, so here's the thing. First thing you can do is just say no from this point on.
Yeah.
Second thing about what happened a couple of years ago with the 19-year-old, that was statutory rape, at least. He's a criminal, and you're a victim. I don't know what you can do about it.
What you have to be aware of is that you are a good victim, and you do freeze, and you have trouble saying no, and you've got to keep yourself out of situations where you can be taken advantage of, because you can't come to your own defense. You freeze. You understand?
Yeah.
And the guys you are attracted to are going to be these abusive a-holes, or abandoning a-holes, one or the other.
Or just opportunistic. I mean, let's face it, guys are like coyotes. If they kill something, got to kill a cat and eat it, they'll kill a cat. But if something's dead, there's a dead squirrel or something, just go get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you guys have coyotes in England?
No.
No?
Really? Although I know of.
I'm going to bring some over there.
We've got so many.
I know.
In our neighborhood.
We got to start killing them.
I wonder. I really
start shooting coyotes. You could be licensed. I could license you. I'd deputize you. Go ahead. I'll write you a note. We got this weird, I got a coyote lives by my house. It's all diseased and weird. It's the bad Ronald of coyotes. It's all its fur is falling out. It has open wounds on it and stuff. And it's kind of dazed. And the animal control people have been trying to kill it or capture it or do whatever with it, destroy it. They don't like to use the word kill. They like to use the word destroy.
Yeah.
To me, killer's a little easier. Like, kill sounds like lethal injection. Destroy's like putting an M80 up its ass or something. We shoot it with a bazooka. Destroy? Really? Thanks for the euphemism. Would you rather be killed or destroyed?
Not destroyed sounds awful.
Destroy sounds like parts of you are flying in different directions. Killed sounds like maybe someone put a pillow on your head while you're asleep, or you drank too much, you choked on your own vomit or something. Destroyed doesn't sound, that's
violent.
Yeah, do better than destroyed. We're going to have to destroy him. So this sick coyote, it's wandering around, it's all screwed up, and it's always in front of my house because my nutty neighbors, the ones with the Star Trek room, there's a...
they feed it, huh?
So is it. Well, here's what it is. The animal control guy was like, somebody must be feeding this coyote in order to keep it alive. I'm doing the math with the neighbors, 28 cats in the Star Trek room, and I'm thinking, yeah. And it's always standing out in front of their house, which is in front of my house.
Magically.
Yeah, and it's so dazed and screwed up that it just, like, stands there, like, to honk the horn and, you know, like, shoo it. And I don't know what to do with it, like, stab it with a sprinkler key or, like, call somebody. Or, you know, when you call somebody, the thing's gone, they come up 2 hours later, it's gone. Like, what do you do?
Nothing.
I start carrying a pistol. That's it. I'll put them down. I'll destroy them. what about ramming it with the car? You thought about it?
Then it can be an accident.
That's right. They'll never know.
Yeah.
Drew, you got a lot of coyotes, really?
So many.
They ate your cat?
Yeah, we had a bobcat ate our cat.
Really?
You know about that?
The comedian, Bobcat Goldthwait?
Bobcat did, yes.
No, a bobcat actually ate your cat?
Yeah.
Ate it or just screwed it up enough to die?
He screwed up. Well, we had to break it up. We heard this shrieking, and my wife ran out there, and then I heard her shrieking because the bobcat went after her.
And then found out it's going to be $2,600 to save the cat, and it's like, destroy it. Really? Right?
No, then I ran out in the yard with a kitchen knife and a broom. I had no idea what I was getting into.
How much to save the cat's life?
We spent a lot.
And the cat died anyway?
Mm-hmm.
But there had to be one more thing at the end.
No.
It's like, come on.
He's not telling the truth.
There's something. I know it. Huh?
Yeah.
As a doctor, there's no more helpless feeling, is there, than to watch your cat die in your arms after being attacked by bobcat? Okay. I know there's nothing you can do.
It was bad.
Okay. Sorry about it. Amy?
Yes?
But at least it's better than you backing over the cat.
Yeah, that was
You know, I mean, this is a good story.
Bad things go, yeah, it's better.
Killed by a cougar. You know what I mean?
Mm. Amy's,
Amy, you're 16?
We could bet on her, too.
Let's hear that voice. Yeah. Yeah, do the alphabet in that sing-songy way, Amy.
Go.
You ready? Go.
What?
Say the alphabet.
Alphabet?
A, B, C, D, E,
F, yeah.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I'm tone deaf, too, so.
All right, do it, but do it in a real sing-songy way, you know, like a little kid.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah, see, this is a 16-year-old.
Four.
Sounds like four.
I'm almost 17.
Were you abused?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing at all.
Hmm. Are you small in stature?
I'm Asian.
Oh, all right. That clears things up. I can do that Asian thing. Well, let me ask you this, Drew. Hold on a second. You know, the Asians, God bless them, they got that subservient thing going with the girls, which is almost like be a girl, be a little girl, stay a little girl. I mean, there's a lot of that cultural thing going on. So we always think of Asian women as having those soft, young voices, and they're a little bit smaller than other breeds, but that's not what it is. It's probably the servitude kind of thing.
The abuse.
Is it abuse? Or is it just sort of a role?
I don't know.
I mean, she says she wasn't abused.
Well, all these things, you know, we observe these things in a socio-historical context, and maybe the same phenomenon would occur at a lesser level of abuse if the society encouraged it or something. I don't know
what that means. Amy?
Yes?
So anyway, you're never abused, but you're Asian, so you got that little voice.
I guess so.
All right. So your question is you stopped sex with boyfriend because your vagina lips were swollen.
The second time we had sex, yeah.
How much time passed that you guys were
Excuse
doing
me?
This? How long were you guys doing this?
We were having trouble getting it in.
Oh,
and, I guess...
Really?
Huh?
Really? Never abused, Amy?
No.
No? When did you lose your virginity?
Well, I've been going out with my boyfriend for about 2 years. And we've tried to do it, like, 3 times, but it was too hard. And we did it for the first time about a month ago.
All right. How old's your boyfriend?
He's 17.
All right. Your parents still together?
My parents are divorced. I live with my mom and my stepdad.
All right.
What's your stepdad like?
Huh?
Is your stepdad a good guy?
Well, he's always raised me like he was a real dad. Except he's just not emotionally close. Like, I don't know him about personal things.
How is your real dad?
He lives in another country, and he got remarried.
So he's out of the picture.
I met my half-brother, spring break. He's 9 months old.
Okay. Mm. So do you feel like your dad abandoned the family?
Not really, because, I mean, I know why they divorced, because they didn't get along well.
Mm. Did you witness a lot of problems between them?
Huh?
Did you witness a lot of problems between them?
No, I mean, I was 9, and I don't remember anything really violent.
All right.
It was just
good.
That they weren't compatible.
Fine. Mm. All right. True. 0 for 20 tonight,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, bad
news. Yeah. Dr. Drew, everybody. Couldn't save his cat. Can't fix the kids. What else, Drew?
Let's take a
break. What else can't you do?
I got to go.
All right, so listen, but let's just mop up with Amy over here. She's getting some swelling,
well,
some irritation.
She has bad nismus, they can't enter, and they got irritation. It's just so many. Are you seeing a doctor?
No. Well, after it happened, I went on the internet to see if I could learn anything, and they said it was a female version of blue balls.
No,
and my boyfriend
Amy.
What do people do on the internet?
Amy, if you're going to be sexually active, you have to get regular pelvic exams. It is time now. Okay?
Huh?
Oh. All right. We got the only dumb Asian in North.
We've done it one more time after that. I'm just trying to prevent it from happening again because it really.
Okay, go. You need to go to the gynecologist.
You need to get a pelvic exam. You're sexually active. You need to get a pelvic exam. Okay?
Do you understand?
Is it because I'm too small and he's too big?
That's a possibility, but someone needs to examine and look what's going on anatomically with you. I suspect it's.
It was the menorah.
Amy, look, Amy, do not try to figure this out for yourself. You must get proper medical care. You don't know what you're doing, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. And let me tell you something.
Tell me.
For an Asian, that was retarded. That was retarded. You understand? That would have been, like, for a white chick, that was average intelligence. For an Asian girl, that's considered... That's retarded.
How
that's retarded.
How dare anybody consider you racist, Adam? How dare they?
I'm just saying the Asians are sharp breed.
Just saying.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. The radio show that we're doing right now. Dan Weldon and Sarah Fisher are both here. Dan is, let's see, 1999 U.S. Formula Ford 2000 champion, 6 victories. Born and raised in England. Lives in Indianapolis. Wow. He's describes himself as excessively neat and tidy. I like that. You're good roommate material. You're on the road a lot. You're driving. You're tidy. That's what you want in a roommate. You want tidy and on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. People, let me just tell you, we got a lot of young people listening to the show that want to know what to do with their, you know, they're getting roommates, they're moving out. Number one quality. Look, anyone you live with in a confined space that you cannot hump, you'll eventually want to kill. And even the people you're humping, eventually you're going to attempt to kill. But that buys you a little time, right?
Right, right.
But when you're living in that one bedroom with your roommate and he's got the futon and you got the sofa or whatever, eventually you'll want to kill your roommate. Everybody learns to hate their roommates because when you take two people and put them on top of each other, this is what happens. Now, if one roommate loses the job in his home all the time, it goes from hate to I'm going to hire a drifter to kill this person, yeah. and then I'll just burn the body, yeah. And I'll collect the insurance. Like
shallow
to medium grave. Yes, you will go insane. If I've had roommates lose jobs, and now they're camped.
Ugh.
They're camped. And when you leave for your job in the morning, they're there. And when you come home, they're there. And they don't have money to go anywhere. See, this is,
Chris.
No, this right. is a scary chick I lived with. The guys are always, here's the point. Find a roommate that's busy as hell.
Yeah.
And that's the best roommate. They're always going, you'll be glad the night you get to see them because they're gone so much. All right. Thank you, Drew. And by the way, whoever sent us this copy of Bad Ronald, what name is that?
Moss.
Moss? The tape sucks. It's no good. You wasted our valuable time. It's completely... It's a worse copy of anything I've ever seen.
I can't see anything. Yeah.
And I'm a guy who watches scrambled porn. I have a very low threshold for that.
Grew up watching scrambled porn.
I was reared on scrambled porn. All right. Jason,
Yes. How's it going?
Good. You're 25. What's up?
First of all, that whole roommate thing. Thank God my roommate just got a job because he spent probably about 9 months on the computer, on the couch, in front of the TV. So I hear you. And I was about 2 days away from hiring that drifter.
You want to kill them. They're never gone. And here's the best part. They're depressed.
Exactly.
You come home at 4 p.m, they're still in their house coat. And money's a huge issue because they don't have a job, so it's a nickel and dime. It's like, well, I'm looking at the phone bill, and I never called.
Yeah,
so not only grating on you, but they're nickel and diming you to death.
Or they're 4 months behind on their rent.
No.
So it sucks.
What happened
I
to the scary chick?
Scary,
all right, my question.
Hang on a second, Jason. I want to hear this.
Scary chick. Well, a scary chick had a scary cat named Sicily. It's just as mean as she was. And she's a nice person now. Everything's fine.
Oh, you have a relationship with her?
No, I just see her once in a while. It's all right. She's going through a tough time. I moved out to move in with Ralph, who was in here last night. That's why I got
sure
the hell out of there.
I'm sure she told the story about the scary dude she was living with.
Yeah. Rick?
No.
Oh, wait, not Rick. We're talking to Jason. Jason.
Yes, I'm back.
All right. Sorry. Sorry for Drew.
That's
so anyway.
Right. Question, Drew. Past 3 years. Stopped wearing underwear. What kind of damage or what kind of problems could I possibly face free balling?
None. I can't think of anything.
Upholstery. I can think of upholstery related problems.
What are you thinking?
Well, I've heard rumors that you can get testicle cancer, abnormalities. I don't know. Is there anything?
Therefore, man in nature would have all had testicular cancer.
They've been wearing underpants for billions of years.
The species should have died out at its inception.
Yeah.
No, Jason, relax.
You're fine.
I'm more worried about skin things and, from the rubbing and the chafing. You get hyperkeratosis pilaris.
Well, what about support, Drew?
Yeah, you'll head towards gravity will take its toll, but, good time.
Okay. Meaning the ball sack will lengthen
Adam, would you like to speak to this, given you know something about this?
Well, a little asymmetry will occur.
Can.
One side will go a little lower than the other.
But how about as it makes its way to the floor?
It'll start heading that way. Everything goes that way.
Yeah, okay.
Right, gravity,
yeah.
I guess,
Yeah. Well,
that's right. That's right, Jason.
All right.
Good time.
Your roommate's got a job now, right?
My roommate's got a job, and he's gone just about as much as I am, so it's a good thing.
Fantastic.
What are you doing?
Wait a minute.
I'm curious.
What is he? He's watching his balls get closer to the ground. Jason?
What?
What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm actually just got home from the bar, and I'm about ready to go to bed.
No, you said you're gone all the time. What do you do?
Oh, what do I do? Well, I have two jobs. I'm a teacher, and I wait tables.
That's what you want. That's the roommate you want. Two jobs. And the waiting table part, cash. Yeah. Always can spot you $20 because they got hand, they walk out with
bring
the
food home.
$120 worth of tips. Yeah. Bringing stuff home in the styrofoam container.
Don't you always want a female roommate?
Female roommates can be good. They get a little weird sometimes. Oftentimes they end up if you have a female roommate who you don't like, I mean, you're not attracted
to. Your friends might.
There's a decent chance she's into you a little bit. And then they start getting weird because, you bring home a date or something, and the next day they got the puss on
in
the kitchen.
No matter what, they'll be very protective of you, and they'll be sort of shunning whoever you bring around.
Yeah. It's tough.
Very primitive.
Yeah, it's good. Females better, but then it's kind of weird because you become the man of the house. Like somebody breaks in, you got to kind of take the lead, or her car battery dies, you got to get the jumper cable. It's kind of nice to have that guy who's Mr. Fix-It, who can handle himself. It's a little, he gives you a little butt rape every once in a while. Every once in a while. Small price to pay for
the
battery jump
the
and the lawn.
Do.
All right. No, that's horrible.
Yes, it was.
Barely happened. Rick?
That was Ralph we're talking about.
Ralph. Barely happened with Ralph.
Hello.
You're 20.
Okay.
Yeah, if you say so.
All right.
Hello.
Yes, Rick.
Bogus.
Hey, how you guys doing? What's up?
Bogus.
Yeah, we don't believe you.
This is
come on now.
It's really bogus. Oh, come on.
You feel it in your chest as soon as they start talking.
Well, what's up, fellas? I mean, bogus. You haven't even heard my question yet.
Well, yeah, I know it's bogus. You're not connected to your question at all. All right, go ahead. Ask your question.
All right. As dirty and as out there as this sounds, I am the biggest analingus freak. I mean, I love the butthole. I mean, strictly female only. I mean, I ain't going there with no men or nothing like that. But, I mean, as far as I can get my nose and tongue in it, you know, I'm a happy camper. And I just want to know, like, the precautions, the consequences of that. Because I know, you know, it's like the dirtiest place of the body. And it's something
I enjoy.
What about
that, Drew?
What's that?
Well.
How often do you do this, Rick?
Every chance I get, man. Every chance I get. Every girl I'm with, I either try to talk her into it or slip her the surprise. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an obsession.
You know, there's all kinds of lovely infectious diseases you can get that way. One of the most historically important routes of contamination of the oral fecal
route. Think about the gals Rick is going with, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, come on now, fellas.
No.
I can pull some fine looking food.
You know when you go to the supermarket and they have that discount section of rotted fruits and vegetables, so it's in the corner. I used to shop at that when I had the roommate. It's like, this persimmon's still good.
Is that a persimmon? That's an apple.
Oh, okay. That's a bad apple. You're going through like corn that's sort of half brown and stuff like that. I picture... I work corn and brown into the
same analogy.
But
yes.
I'm thinking, I'm picturing Rick sort of doing that. And that's the kind of thing you don't want to be getting your tongue into. Yes, Drew? So what can happen? What diseases? Hepatitis?
Yeah, you get hepatitis that way. You can get, you know, Shigella and Salmonella.
Shigella.
Amoeba. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can, unfortunately, lots of different viruses.
All right. Rick.
HIV.
You there, fellas?
Yeah. Yeah, the oral fecal route is not a good one.
Well, I mean, I'm not going for the grimy hoes. I'm looking for, you know, the good, clean girls. I'll take a look at it before I stick my tongue in it. I mean,
oh my God.
All right. Well, as long as you're examining it,
I'm trying to make sure it's clean. Yeah, I mean, I may be from Detroit, but there is some good looking girls out here, and I'm going after the clean ones. And
all right, Rick.
Giving it the examination.
All right, Rick. All right, we're done with you.
Can I give a shout-out to
No, you can give no shout-outs. Listen,
that's bogus.
See, this is the non-question. Yeah. Guys that are into doing this, and there's a handful of them out there, they're just into it.
That's
how you know the bogus question, which is...
No question.
It's an announcement that's couched in the form of a question.
Right.
Right?
In reality, there's no question.
Usually the shout-out at the end.
Right.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little bit of a break. Talking racing tonight. Big Toyota 400 going on this weekend out at the California Speedway. Race is going on Sunday. Qualifying on Saturday. And practice, which is open to everybody, right? Free. Get in there. Watch your practice sessions.
Yeah, I believe so.
That's Friday. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
It's always like my kisser. It's always like my zoom, my z, my zoom, zoom, z.
Never gets old.
Yeah.
Never gets old. For Drew.
Yeah.
For everyone else, got old like 1,500 times ago. Yeah. Dan Weldon and Sarah Fisher both here tonight.
Somebody had me sign books tonight as my kisser.
Oh, really? They're both members of the IRL, that's right, Indy Racing League. Got a big race coming up at the California Speedway, which is a relatively new facility. Say, 7 years ago? When the hell did they build that? You guys know how old that place is? It's kind of new.
Was it the Ontario Speedway first? They rebuilt it.
They got rid of some and made some, but I think California Speedway's new. Although you couldn't tell by the burnt orange color scheme they decided to go with. That was a smart move. Great, make everyone think it was built in 1974.
It's in the area though, where it's at.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of burnt people and burnt brush.
Excellent point, Fontana.
Burnt orange and red. All right, but good times. Got a big race, Toyota 400 going on this week. Friday is qualifying, Saturday is practice, and running in groups. And that's Dan says to check that out. And then Sunday, of course, the big race. Right, let's take a question for our
guest. Then that's two.
Two?
Yeah.
All right. Dustin?
Yeah.
23, what's your question?
My question is, I'm a pilot, and I find that when I fly, when I land, I get on the freeway to drive, and I'm driving pretty fast, but I don't realize it until I look over and there's a cop going about 53, and I look down and I'm doing about 90.
What do you fly?
I just fly Cessnas, small planes.
Oh, okay.
But I usually go about 140, somewhere in there.
In the plane, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's it like? Does it feel, I mean, if you're going 240 all day, and then you climb in your car and you're going 70, does it feel like you're crawling?
Yeah, it does. Really?
No, I'm asking the guests, but, I mean.
They're shaking their heads.
They're shaking their head, yeah.
I don't know. The one thing that I like about being on the road is, obviously, you can relax.
Right.
You don't have the, you're not having to eke out every last thousandth.
Right.
So, like, I tend to just chill out on the road and take it easy and let all the other guys do the crazy stuff.
Yeah. Sarah doesn't do that, though, do you, baby doll?
No, not really. I get in a car and I just instinctively...
You want to go.
Go.
Yeah.
I just don't pay attention.
That's right, Dan. She's a winner, okay?
Oh.
That's the attitude of the champion. That's the eye of the tiger. You go. I don't care if you're pushing a shopping cart, Drew, or out on the IRL. You go, all right? That's a champion.
Yes, sir, Mr. Crowley.
You understand? All right. So, you know, this comes up all the time with race car drivers, and we've had a lot of them on the show over the years, and they find out that either they drive, like, turbo Porsches because of their, you know, it's obvious they like the speed and the thrill, or they could care, they couldn't care less, and they're driving, like, just some sort of suburban wagon thing with the kids. Like, they don't want to experience that anymore. Drew, what about you? Do you like talking to microphones when you're not doing it on air? Do you find yourself, like when you're in a supermarket, do you lean over and grab the intercom and start shouting? You have to broadcast,
yeah.
Right? That's what you do?
Yes.
All right.
Or at least pretend. I don't click the mic out when I'm talking to the cashier. I just talk into it.
I see.
That way I can actually right. produce speech.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to need some Chiclets. Were you molested? You were,
I was going to say exactly that. Does he ask her that stuff?
Johnny?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
You know, I'm gay, and I want to find out, you know, because I want to have a kid. And at work, I constantly, you know, flirt with girls. And I was wondering, you know, if it would be a problem, you know, having a kid and then being with a girl.
Hold on now. Have you ever had a boyfriend, or do you have one now?
Yes, I do.
You have a boyfriend. And by the way, gay, good move for Johnny, because he could never pick up chicks.
Why?
This is sketchy. Yeah. She freaks chicks out. They don't like that, right, Sarah?
Oh, you know, listen to this. Listen to this. I was at a dinner with, there was about three of my wife's friends there. Hold on a second. And they were talking to one of the woman's daughter, and she was talking about this guy she used to date. And the mom goes, well, she just, you know, just really wasn't in for it. And then she leans over and goes, he used to call all the time and told her how much she loved him and how great she was. And he called all the time.
Right.
And every woman at the table went,
yeah.
They went, oh.
Yeah.
Like they shuddered, like, oh, yeah. I hate that.
I know, because women spend their entire life wanting guys to or telling guys why they're not praising them enough. But the second the praise starts coming, it's like, what's wrong with you?
It's like, ugh, yuck.
So that's why as a guy, you're like a doctor. You have to just sort of deal it out, but in small doses. You know, it's like you give them a little medication, but not too much. You give them a whole pile of the OD on it. Sure. That's why I tell my old lady, Drew.
Yeah, you give her nothing, though.
Yeah. I could shower you with attention, but I don't want you to dump me. Johnny?
Yes.
All right.
So what does your boyfriend feel about this?
Huh?
How does your boyfriend feel about you having a kid?
Well, he actually doesn't really know that I, you know, want to have a kid.
Okay.
All right, first of all, you're 21. What are you thinking about?
You give it another 10 years, and then you could adopt or do
whatever.
Or do
something with your boyfriend.
Couldn't you adopt?
Yeah, I could, but, you know, I want to have a kid of my own, you know, my own.
All right, well, you find a surrogate or something, you know, that we've had friends that have done that.
And by the way,
you and
who's
I,
we?
You and I.
I don't have any friends that have done that. Oh, will we? Yes, we do. That's right. Yeah. Ass baby. That's right. Forgot about that. Yeah, I guess you can do that. I don't know what the details of that were, though. I thought they were adopted or something. I don't know. We know gay couple who's... Well, you know, one of the gay couples.
Some of them, they'll mix the sperm and the implanted.
Yeah. You know, the beauty of me is I you know.
You start seeing the alpha.
Some gay couples start saying, hey, we got a new kid. Hey, that's great. That's great. That's great. You guys are great. Whatever you do, it's great. It's great. Yeah, you know how we did. Yeah, we took our sperm, we put it in a paint can shaker, we both beat off into the
A, B, C,
D. You're a grand old flag. I just put my hands, I do grand old flag. I put my fingers in my ears and I just start doing grand old flag.
But listen, you would.
Can be done.
Listen, if you were able to live out your ultimate life as a gay male, what you and you and Jimmy, come on, think about that.
Yeah, maybe me and Dan.
You and Dan even.
Race car.
You mix your sperm together. Cars.
Come on, buddy. That's cool.
You'd be the handy guy around the house.
I'm fixing a car. Dan's coming in. You run a little lean, buddy. Gonna rich it up just a little bit. Now go. And I want you to wear this scarf for good luck.
You're killing me.
I'm just getting drunk in the trailer at the hospitality tent. Dan comes back.
Think all the money you guys would have, too.
We have money. I'm doing the radio. You're on the road. We got a nice palace.
But you'd have to hang out with all the driver's wives, though.
No, it's a lot of hot tail in there. Oh, yeah. A lot of hot tail in there. I learned to get along with the driver's wives. Start spreading rumors.
Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him.
I'd be like, Dan, not a big boy, but a big boy. A big boy. You know, spread the news. Spread around. Start starting all sorts of crazy
Dan
rumors
get
and stuff.
Of Sarah's boyfriend.
Yeah.
He'd be like hanging out with you.
It'd be a good life. Dan, you could do a lot worse. You could do a lot worse. A lot worse. Come on. Take me home to meet your parents in Hounslow.
$3,000. It's only $3,000.
Oh, no.
$3,000. $3,000. No, $2,500, buddy. All right.
It ain't happening.
Come on, got the M3.
It ain't happening.
All right. I'll tell you what. Just think about it. And it's a lot of bravado on the air. I think once the mics cool off, Dan will have second thoughts. You saw it in his eyes.
Yeah,
all right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank Dan and Sarah for coming in here from the RL. And tell you that you can find them out in Fontana at the Speedway this weekend. 240 miles an hour. Drew, who are we talking to?
I'm just looking at a guy who had a broken penis, perhaps, and that can happen. You can tear the corpus cavernosus, and he should be seen by urologists if he did that.
All right.
You know, all kinds of problems if it's not repaired.
240 miles an hour. You could really break your penis at that speed.
Yes, you could.
Got to wear cups there. All right, so that's going on. Toyota 400. Go out and see that this weekend. Do not miss Saturday. That's all, and all the action takes place during the practice, warm-up. All right, so until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I am the biggest analingus freak. I mean, I love the butthole. I mean, strictly female only. I mean, I ain't going there with no men or nothing like that, but I mean, as far as I can get my nose and tongue in it, you know, I'm a happy camper.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.